Well, if for some reason it was being done by some cult or by scientists on this planet, would we find that out? I mean, would we see things, obvious things, footprints, things like that?
I think so. But let's just talk for a minute about some of the highest strangeness physical evidence at animal mutilation sites to place them in a completely different category. And one of those is the discovery of what is called pure hemoglobin particles. One was on a cow in California, one was in Canada, and one was in Alabama. That means these are three that we know of, could be on hundreds more. And in these three, on the hair, on around the excisions of the mutilation sites, as well as in one case, there were some willows growing near one of the cows, I think it was in California, and some of these black particles were even on those branches. And when W.C. Levengood began trying to figure out what are these black particles, and eventually he worked with an analytical chemist, and they came up with a matching bovine hemoglobin spectra. And what they did is they had the particles from the animals out in the wild, the mutilation sites, and they got a baseline of what bovine pure hemoglobin looks like from a chemical plant. And when you compared them, they were identical. And biophysicist Levengood said, "This stuns me because the only way that we know on this planet currently to take the blood, whether it's of a cow or a horse or a human or any earth life that has blood in it, and reduce it to a pure hemoglobin form like these particles, would be through centrifuges in a laboratory. And you couldn't do that in a field. You couldn't transport all that equipment. That would definitely attract attention. So the animal has to be being taken someplace for this very complicated process to be done. And then coming back to your question in the first half hour, George, is that if these particles are then found on animals that are left out in the wild and they're mutilated, it's almost as if it's another calling card. Here is another piece of evidence of something that is being done to these animals that we cannot do out in rugged country, but something is saying, we're doing this, and these particles are sort of left almost to be found and studied. Now, right there, that separates out those particular cases from anything that would fall into the category of satanic cult or predator or disease. And then when you come to what is actually happening under a microscope at these excisions, going back into the 80s when I first started working with John Altshuler, an MD, a pathologist and hematologist, highly respected, had done a lot of work at the University of Colorado in the medical center and then went on to have his own laboratory and unfortunately was hit on his bicycle by a car that led, yes, to a very premature death of a vigorous and courageous mind 3 or 4 years ago. And up until that time, John Altshuler had worked on many cases. I had gone out into the field, maybe 20, 30 times that I've been with my formalin and a scalpel and gloves and have cut tissue from animals and gotten it into formalin and collected soil and samples to get to biophysicist W.C. Levengood, in which the field research has really paid off. And John Altshuler was the very first to photograph and report that the collagen and the hemoglobin under a microscopic examination of slices of tissue from mutilated animals definitely had been exposed to high heat. And we have had veterinarian pathology reports on the few necropsies that have been paid for by law enforcement or ranchers in which it's been said these excisions were done with something that was hot and high heat. Well, the first thing that comes to mind are lasers. Well, John Altshuler went to a colleague of his, a gynecologist in Denver, and laid out the situation and said, "I would really like to see what your gynecology surgery or other kinds of surgery in which lasers are commonly used." He did this for humans, and then he did this with veterinarians who worked on horses. And he said, "I'd like to compare those photomicrographs with what we are seeing in the animal mutilation mystery. And one day I sat in his office, and he had a setup where you could sit and look through the eyepiece and take photographs of what you were looking at. And he said, on the right, that is a human gynecological slide. And on the left is from the recent case that you've got the tissue and I've been able to study. And tell me, Linda, what are you seeing that's different? Well, it really was clear. The human laser known excision had black residue on it, which is carbon, because we're carbon-based life forms.
Sure.
On the left, in the animal mutilation, which I believe that one was a cow, it didn't have any. And as he went through, and we had tissue samples from rabbits, we had tissue samples from cats, we had tissue samples from goats and sheep and pigs and up through horses and cattle. And when he was trying to see if there was a consistent line here, what could the instrument be, the cutting instrument, if it was heating and cooking the hemoglobin, hot enough to cook the hemoglobin and the collagen and not leave carbon residue? And that had not been answered by the time that he was unfortunately hit on his bicycle and later died. And today, I think this is one of the puzzles. Sometimes it's been suggested that the cutting instrument has something to do with frequency or sound. If so, we still don't have the exact instrument that would duplicate all of the patterns that we have seen in these animal mutilations. And when you jump to at least a dozen people over the last two decades who have said to me, Linda, I saw the animal rise in a beam from my pasture. And when I say, will you go on the record? Would you tell people? And they say no, because everybody will say I'm crazy. Well, I've heard that so often, and I can't violate those requests for anonymity. But, George, there are so many people who have seen this beam technology, even if they won't come forward.